took advantage of $3,000.
We're not. No, I was just adjusting my cut here.
You're all standing up.
Oh, no. I just. Yeah. No. I'm waiting for Jerry here.
Yeah. See what happens?
Yeah.
See how easy it is?
Okay. We call the work session to order at, no, we're not doing a pledge. That's 7 o'clock. At 6:01. We did have our county legislator, Brian May. He was going to be give us a county update, but he got called out of town. He got called out of town, so we're going to just get right into the budget tonight, and with the highway budget. Now, before we get started, I just want to say to everybody, I hope that everybody is in a good mood tonight, because nobody's looking to torture anybody, or nobody's looking to give anybody a hard time. But I do want to make sure that everybody stays civil tonight. And I'm not looking at you. But if I feel that things are getting a little bit heated, I'm going to take a break, give everyone a chance to calm down. But hopefully we don't have to do that.
So,
all right.
You'll survive this.
All right.
I'm okay with it.
Anytime you're ready, Mr. Hull.
Wow. Just as a little prelim.
Yep.
Okay. Just to kind of give you where we're at. Kind of an update, too. Okay. Within the last week, finally, after COVID and Ford and everything else, we did receive the first two of the flip vehicles that we've been doing annually, the pickups.
Yeah, the two pickups,
yeah,
what you're talking about.
The cab and the four-door cab. Update on the other one should be in the end of the month. The cab and chassis that gets the box.
And like you said, those two truck vehicles, we're trading them. It's an even swap on both of those.
Almost.
Right? Just about?
Yeah, well, we upgraded the one I drive.
Yeah.
A package upgrade to get better tires and wheels.
Right.
Because the ones that come on the package we were getting,
yep.
They were, may seem funny, Michelins, they were garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get out of your own driveway without locking it four-wheel drive.
But it was a minimal
design for what we do in the middle of winter.
Just so the public knows, it was a minimal charge. We're getting a brand new truck for a year-old truck. We're getting a 100% warranty, and the warranty starts now at a very minimal fee, correct?
What it amounted to, we were able to get two 250s. One's a super cab, one's a crew cab, and a four-door cab, four-wheel drive, one-ton dually to put a stainless steel box on that we already own, and the entire deal cost us $39,000.
How much out of pocket?
$39,000 for three trucks, because we're adding one we didn't have to swap. That cab and chassis.
Yeah.
You know.
That was
that's an
and that was part of our plan.
Correct.
Our five. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. All right.
This all fit the plan perfectly, and we secured bids from three people on the package, the three trucks.
Yeah.
Swapping and buying the crew cab,
and this is the 5-year plan. You should
like
have
$50
that.
$50 a car.
Right, but so the public understands that we have. You got three trucks, but two of them is pretty much
pretty
an even
darn
swap.
Close to the even swap.
Even swap. So we're
able to put 14,000 to 20,000 miles on them
right.
in a year.
Yeah.
We're not buying tires. We're not buying brakes.
Yep.
We're not. We do maybe one or two oil changes, depending on when it pops mm-hmm. up, which is around 7,500 miles.
Right.
The one I just swapped in that I was driving had a little over 14,000 miles on it, got one oil change the whole time mm-hmm. we owned it. under warranty for 3 years, 36,000, so we're covered the whole time we own it. Gives it a good retail value, that's why we buy a color other than flat green, because we buy a vehicle based on the perception of what's going to have a high market value when we get rid of it.
Right.
And it's working for us so far. I don't know, if you wanted to boil down the changes over the last three times we did this, maybe it's cost us $100 a month per car.
Right. And that more than makes up for the maintenance, because if you add in all those other things, the tires, the oil changes, and all the other wear and tear on the vehicle.
With the miles we put on, you don't even want to try to go a second year, because now you're into tires, brakes,
right.
You know. And a set of tires is $1,000, a set of brakes is $900,
right.
You know. So you're not winning, you're losing on that end.
And we have, the maintenance or the warranty is extended out, and now we got another 3 year warranty.
The person that buys that pickup from where we swapped it in still has 2 years warranty.
So out of that $39,000, what is the minimal charge? What part of it is associated with those other two vehicles?
The two that came.
The two that changed, what was that?
$3,000.
How much?
$3,000 for two of them.
$3,000, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, very, and that was a little more than normal, and I think some of our COVID might have had something to do with that. But we actually ended up driving them longer than we normally do, because they were supposed to be ordered February 3rd with everything that happened. The actual order wasn't placed until July 9th, but they honored the deal anyway. We, like I said, we just received two of them. We should have got them back in May, you know, but all things worked out.
Okay.
So there's that. Today we received, it was delivered to our shop, the, I'll probably get the year wrong, 2021 Western Star plow truck was delivered today. So that's, we're in the 10th month. So that pretty well sets the stage for how long it takes to get one of those. So the vehicle was brought in, and the plow and the wing will be brought down in a separate truck. But we have the truck. So looks good. Very happy with what I see with that. So it's here. Snow will be here soon. Road work wise, obviously we got on things quick and dirty in the spring, and we managed to get the oil and stone and the mill and fill projects, I'll say 96% of them done early. Got full 100% value out of our CHIPS Paved New York programs by doing so, because they've, since July, they've been cut to the 80% pay. So by doing what we did early, we received the other 20% of those monies. My head's not gonna wrap around 20%. We're about 180,000 between those three programs, so whatever 20% of that is a gain for us, because we got the work done early and got our paperwork submitted ahead of time. So that was a plus. And Mott Road, finished milling out the subbases and old asphalt materials today. And the base gravels have been pretty well placed. A little bit of fine grading. And that road will probably be paved in a base asphalt next week, I believe.
Yeah, he said possibly Friday.
Maybe Friday.
Maybe start next week Friday, but more than likely the Monday. Following Monday.
So over the last 2 days, there was a total mill out of about 10 inches all the way down through Mott to the village line, and the fabric and the stone was laid, packed, graded pretty finely. There's a little touch-up grading they'll be doing over the next couple of days, but it'll be ready to pave as soon as Roselli can get in here to pave it.
So how long is that going to take? Before
probably
it's
a day.
Okay, so what are we looking at for, so the residents would know that?
Well, let's say
end of the month.
Before the end of the month, it'll be done for sure.
Okay.
Mother Nature allowing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it depends on rain more than anything.
Okay. Good.
Next week, Friday is the earliest that Roselli would move in, which is the 23rd.
Yeah.
But Mother Nature could kick him back a day here and there.
Yeah, we got some rain rolling through. There's no question.
By the end of the month, they should, should see it done. That's good. Okay.
It's been a pleasure working with Trolley up there. Did a nice job, efficient.
He moved right along.
Well, you know, we noticed a little lag at the start because we were only supposed to supply him with two trucks. I noticed a little lag where the backhoe sat for a minute here and there in between our trucks. So I sent him a third one. Things motored after that. Our people assisted his people in catch basin work and that. Everything was based around, let's help each other. It saves days, and when you're on a day rate at 53, saves money. So I think we've shaved a couple days up there.
Right now, everything works out as I think we're gonna be about 5 days under budget. We had 31 days budgeted, and I think we're gonna fall in right around 24, 25 days.
So when you do that, at 5,300 a day, there's 25 grand.
Right.
So I'm happy, I'm happy. Patchett Road, we've really turned the corner over there. We've got just a little bit. We would have had it, but Mother Nature got in the way of some of it. We've got it about half hider seeded. We've got it about 3/4 raked out fine topsoil on top of base dirt. The hider seeder was gonna be back here today to hit another third of it for me. Truck broke, so I may see him tomorrow. But we're trying to get it hider seeded before the end of the month so we can get some grass to stabilize the fine dirts we put in place. So it's coming along. Yes, it's wide down through there. It gives people a spot to get out of the way, I guess would be the way to put it, especially on that hill.
Yeah, that's
the only thing we noticed in working over there is, yeah, you give it to them wide and they really go like hell down through there. So it's basically 29 feet wide down through there now. So it's probably one of our wider roads. I just wish people would slow down. It's sad.
It is.
But so, I can't do that. The police have to do that. So
yeah. So if we're talking about the budget, that's why I know you put in a certain amount, and
we should be under that too.
Mr. Rowley and I, no, I mean with the budget right now, and this is only a tentative budget, that's why we're here. You know, if we can, not if, I know we're gonna move some money around. You know, I don't know how much we're gonna have, and that's when we get through, we're gonna move some money around to cover up some shortfalls, but we started out with you started out with 300,000 less than what you had this year because that came from the Patchett Road that we were given by the contractor.
Yeah, I think I asked for 1.3 last year and ended
right.
up
but
with
that,
1.75.
But that's where, so if
but
you
I had to make some deep cuts into my mill and fill program to cover it.
Right, but if you take that out, you take that out and the 30,000 from Mott Road, your budget's pretty much the same right now.
Yeah, we're close. We're close. I've got all the stuff here for you, so I'm going to give you copies.
But, okay.
Just to kind of, well, we might as well go into that part of it since we're talking about the roads. Okay.
Well, why don't we go?
Well, David and I discussed something today too about how our accounting system works in roads. You've got construction, you got maintenance. You see it on your stuff all the time. I want to see if we can have that combined into one total. Like for this year, it was 1,175. He's going to check and see if we can do that because we're always, you know, you're pulling some stuff from here that you can call it maintenance. This has to be construction. And we get down to this time of year and they're out of whack. Okay, just because of where monies go for certain parts of the processes. So if we can get that to be just one column with our total and work from there, it'll be easier on him, it'll be easier on us.
So you're talking about combining 400 and 402, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 12.
I'm not looking at the number.
412?
You got it. I'm looking at like this year, I think it was split like 701 and 400 and something in the other.
Or 400, sorry. Yeah, it is for okay. Yeah. You know, that makes so much sense. So why?
That's probably why we won't be able to do it.
Why? I don't know. What? Can you just like in 15 seconds tell us why it's broken up, David? Because it always drives me crazy too. Because it's really one.
We have the transfer.
And well, it used to be that you had to keep the CHIPS money in 51. What you were spending your CHIPS money on at 51, 12, 400. But that's what I'm gonna check.
Okay.
Maybe that's an old rule that we don't have to abide by then.
Because it would make things so much simpler.
It wouldn't be a lot simpler.
Yeah, it would.
Because I always add the two numbers together.
I do when I'm doing my layouts.
You know, because I know we're asking, the tentative right now is $898,000 between those two codes. That's what we're asking.
And I think I had a request in for
$300,000 more.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
Well, I just added 609 and 289, so.
And I just wanted to be. I just wanted to be careful next year because we don't know where the chips is gonna land. You know, is it gonna stay at 80? Is it gonna come back? We don't know. We don't have an answer to that, so I wanted to be careful about.
Well, I can put the state of New York in it anyway, do you?
No.
No.
Not on the revenue side.
See, I worry about on the revenue side, the chips money is in jeopardy. It's about $130,000, so.
And we were, when we went through this, we were being very conservative with the stuff because we don't know where we're going to be. That's why I was hoping Brian May was gonna be here tonight because I wanted, you know, everyone to hear it from someone other than me or Dave. But when we went through this, we kind of were looking at about a 20% difference in the money that we're getting from, especially estate. We took out, I think, 20%. And that's where we wanted to start from because, you know, he and I both think that, you know, that's probably a number that's conservative enough where we're not gonna get hurt. If it comes in higher, I mean, that we're okay with that, but if it comes in lower, especially when you're talking about budgeting, that could be a problem for us. So that's why we did
it. Yeah, just to clarify, the chips money is made up of three pieces. It's the regular chips money that we get. There's a program that's called Paid New York that we get. And then there's a winter severity that we get. We historically have not budgeted, and this actually goes to one of Bob's questions on the sheet. We historically do not budget for Paved New York, and we don't budget for the severity money because you never know for sure if you're going to get those.
And if you do get them, you just put them in
as a revenue, and that's a plus for us.
It helps us for coming here.
So this year, as Jerry was just alluding to, and we had some discussions at some meetings here, we weren't even sure we were going to be getting anything for a while.
Right.
And then it was, okay, you're going to get 10% less, you're going to get 20% less. You're not getting any Paid New York. You're not getting any severity money, you know? So that's why we took the approach in this budget to stay the way we've been budgeting. Don't budget for Paid New York. Don't budget for severity. But only budget 80% of the $129,000
right.
for chips.
And we were on board with that on the careful side of things. Like I think my request on that part of the budget between road maintenance and the other, that was 59, was basically what I received for this year. Okay, in other words, I asked for 1.3 last year, got 1.175. It's worked well, we've covered a lot of ground, we're making some progress. At this point, I'm going to make a comment, okay? This is based on, This is based on John Carlisle, ex-commissioner, New York State Highway Department, okay? And this is out of Cornell Road Program report. His words were, "It is an economic crime if we do not take care of the roads after we build them." So I just want you to bear that in mind as we go through all this, okay? And I got copies here. This is just to kind of give you an idea of where we're at and what areas we're looking to work in this coming year for roads. And I'll go through it with you quick, okay? Okay, the first page, these are mill and fill roads, all right? And it includes the top coat for mops, which will be done next year. And if you look at the bottom of that, there's a total, 551, 310, 42, is that what's on your paper?
Yeah.
Okay. The next page, if you look at that, now this year we were heavy in the oil and stone because we had some catching up to do. And when we received our $200,000 cut from a 1-3 request, we took a chunk out of Radisson that was all together. That's all on this mill and fill list, okay? What we didn't do this year, heads up the list for next year. There's some sections over there that are really bad, okay? The second page, you'll see we went minor on the oil and stone because we're making some strides there of the miles of oil and stone that we have. So you see Gates, Morgan, Guider, McIntyre, Avery, Swamp Road, okay? The total for that's 120. Coal, County Line, our parts, because of COVID, I still have it all right on my bulletin board to get with Granby to hash out that agreement on paper.
Right.
Or who's doing what part. Mm-hmm. But on the parts that have been perceived and been maintained by us and them for eons, okay, I formulated my estimate for Colon County Line because technically we should have put a fine oil and stone coat on that mixed pave that we did year before last. Was it year before? No, last year. So we at least need to get that process on top of that this coming year. Okay, and that's just a fine oil and stone. It's a sealer coat is basically what it is for the process that we put on underneath to do that road up. So it's a minimal expense. I want to hash that out with Granby and get those numbers down on paper for feet of road. Because we're not going to do the right-hand side and I'm doing the left-hand side. The county line goes right down the middle of it in places. So we do half the length to equate to half the road. So that's what's always been done. We'll get it on paper. Okay, winter time's a good time to work on that. And we have to, because we did some drainage work on Mariner's Trail, there's about 1,000 feet of Mariner's Trail that when we did the whole development, we did not oil and stone that because we were afraid we were gonna have to cut the road. So we didn't end up cutting the road. That's a good thing. The drainage seems to be working again now. So it's just a matter of when we head out to do oil and stone west of the village, duck in there and hit that 1,000 feet of Mariner's Trail and be done with it to keep it with the rest of the development, okay? So you see the total there for oil and stone, 157,800. That's light. But it keeps us moving forward on those to keep them in sync with the 5 to 7 year surface coating to maintain what you have. Okay. Major project planning, you see that down there, Connell Terrace reconstruction, Connell Terrace mill and fill part. Part of Connell Terrace was fixed up with new curbing and some drainage quite a few years ago.
Almost 20 now.
Pardon me?
Almost 20 years.
Almost 20 years ago. But they didn't do the whole thing. So
next year is 20 years.
That part of the road that they did 20 years ago needs to be milled and filled now. All right, it's cracking and it needs to be milled out and filled in. The rest of Connell Terrace needs the rebuild. Okay, needs better drainage. However, it's going to be a lot simpler than mine. Nowhere near as many drainage basins. So the cost is a little less. But we estimate, and he threw his numbers down, I threw my numbers down. We were within a few bucks of each other on our estimates for Connell Terrace. We were within $7,000 of each other, both of us doing our own estimates. So.
How many feet is that at Connell Terrace you're going to do? The whole thing?
The whole thing up to?
All the way to the cul-de-sac?
Cul-de-sac included. Now, there was a thought on that cul-de-sac. If someone up there, if the people up on that cul-de-sac, this is their opportunity, if they want to make a change and have a green center, that's a huge cul-de-sac of asphalt is what it is. And if they wanted to have a green middle, I don't have a problem with it. Make sure we have plenty of lane space for us to plow it.
I was just going to say
that. Oh, yeah.
You got enough room for them to do
it? Oh, yeah.
Cul-de-sac's huge.
It's a huge cul-de-sac.
Yeah, I don't know how big it is.
I think the people up there on the cul-de-sac might like a green area in the middle there with a couple trees planted in it or something. I don't know. It's an opportunity for them to make it better than this.
So
that cul-de-sac's bigger than this room.
So when you say it's an opportunity for them, they wouldn't be doing it. We wouldn't be filling out.
We'd do it for them, but we wouldn't have to pay them then.
Right, we'd dig it out, we'd throw some grass seed in, throw some trees in there.
Yeah, I mean, call it a neighborhood beautification project, call it whatever you want, call it a green space.
How much would you save if we did that?
Oh man, that cul-de-sac's huge.
Yeah, pretty easily, $10,000.
$10,000?
Yeah.
I mean, that's with putting in the green area?
Even with putting the topsoil in the.
See, we have dirt available to us, you know, and we screen it, now you got topsoil, you know, so the dirt part of it is really a minimal expense for us. And when we're in there milling the rest of Connell, you mill off the asphalt and haul it away.
Well, personally, I think it's a good idea. I don't know what everybody else thinks, but I think maybe
if they like it the way it is, okay.
Yeah, maybe we send them a letter. You know, the people that it would affect, send them a letter, tell them this is what we're thinking about doing. What do you think? Let us know.
We probably bet you we don't have, in the whole town, I'll bet we don't have 3 or 4 cul-de-sacs that are like that. I don't think there's many.
Who maintains them, Jerry?
There's usually someone that lives right there, they mow the grass, you know. I've never had to have our guys mow any of them. And I don't know who does it in Radisson, but there's 67 cul-de-sacs in Radisson. We don't mow them. I don't know who does. But all of theirs have a green area in the middle. Some of them could have gave us a little wider lane when they built them, but we'll make sure we get enough space up there if they want it. So.
I would assume Radisson's the same way that Seneca State, the Homeowners Association in Seneca State takes care of all those green areas.
Do they?
I believe the Radisson maintenance people take care of
it. It's possible. Like I say, we're not.
You have to have some organization that takes care of them, or, like you say, a neighbor agrees. But
and because we have cul-de-sacs all over town, somebody's mowing them.
Yeah, it's usually an association.
Yeah, but I mean, in places like Doyle Road, there's 3 of them down there.
Talamore, there's 2. Neighbors take care of them.
Yeah, Talamore has 2 of them.
Well, let's send some letters out, see what the interest is.
If there's interest, there's interest. If there's not, if they like parking their cars there, I don't have a problem with that either. Right. You know, it's just an opportunity for them.
Okay.
So the total for Connell Terrace, between the reconstruction part and enhancing the drainage, and then the part that was done 20 years ago, milling that section and repaving it all at once up through there, so it's all new road. You're looking at 370 for Connell Terrace. That's a long road.
Yep.
A lot longer than Mott.
But we only have about 760 feet of mainline drainage that needs to go in on Connell because we put cross basins in when we did Crego, Mercer, Mott. That so diverts the water back down those streets rather than.
Now, when we do that, is that going to take care of the water issue?
Because that's going to add basins.
Because there's as you go down from the cul-de-sac around there on that bend there, there's a lot of water.
The other thing it will also pick up. We get a lot of ice problems up there because people have sump pumps and they bring them out to the street and they just dump them there. Well, that's fine this time of year; it's not freezing. But when we get into the cold zones and their sump pumps still kick on because of Indian Springs, you know, those sump pumps run year round up there, some of them, that water flows down the road and freezes. We've gone up there before in the dead of winter and had to chisel out this much ice with a payloader or a backhoe because you can't plow it. So when we do the reconstruction, part of it is when we put the under drain in the mainline pipe, we tie in everybody's sump pumps right into our drainage system.
Yeah, like that's what you did on Mott.
We just did it on Mott. So
yeah, that's a great idea.
That gets it off the road and puts it where it belongs. And now we don't have the ice problems. Mm-hmm. So that's that one. You go to the last page of the road maintenance. We put down crack seal, which we need to do where new meets old when we do these roads. Anything that maybe has some longitudinal cracks in the middle where your seams come together. First 3 or 4 years, things will show you where you need to seal them up, but we like to seal new and old. We did it last year. We didn't get to do any this year. So we've got down there, it's about 15,000 in crack seal. We have unanticipated culvert pipe replacement. Usually A lot of that occurs out in the country roads where they put iron pipe in, the old galvanized years ago. We did 29 of those this year, cross culverts. Had to cut the roads open and change 29 culverts that were either collapsing, the bottoms were out, they were gonna be a problem. So we call that an unanticipated pipe replacement. Until we get on that road and walk that road and check those culverts, you don't know which ones you're gonna fix and which ones you're not. Willett Parkway, we didn't get to get near that this year. We've been changing the drainage grate locations that are along the granite curbs. Called ambitious or not, we'd like to do 10 of the paired locations per year. I think there's 120 catch basins on Willett Parkway and they're all failing. So initially, before my time, they would go over there and do ones that were caving in. Well, now we don't have too many that are completely gonna fall in, but they're showing their age. So last year we started, I think we did 6 or 8 locations. Pick the worst ones first. Now we would like to do it where, okay, we go from here up and we do 10 of them. And it could take it, you know, 8 or 10 years to get them all changed out. Hopefully the road holds together long enough to do that, because I'd like to get those fixed before the road gets repaved. It just makes sense.
Well, one more thing to note is the cross culverts between those basins
are all pipe.
They're all corrugated steel pipe and toast.
Yeah, we haven't seen one yet where the bottom's not gone.
We're facing that in the whole northern section of Radisson. We've got quite a bit of mill and fill next year in Radisson. One of the things that Jerry has in his parks budget is we're going to get a better inspection camera, a push camera, to take a closer look at those before we pave next year, because I know we're going to find quite a bit of pipe that is in poor condition in that section of Radisson that we're looking at.
Everybody loves the salt in the wintertime because it melts the snow and ice on a road. But boy, those pipes, those old corrugated pipes, don't like it at all. Takes a 30-year expectancy and turns it into a 15 to 20. We've had to change some in your neighborhood. People are like, whoa. Yeah, pull it out, no bottom. You know, the pipe's gone, road's caving in next to the basins. That's what usually flags one for us. Someone will call us and tell us, hey, there's a hole in the road. There it is, it's gone. So we end up cutting up the road. I don't like to cut up roads that we just paved. So yes, the tool we want to get kind of jointly is an inspection camera. You know, they're $2,000 to $3,000, but we do want to get one because you raise the basin great, pry that up, and you can't really go down in there to look in those pipes. But they have cameras that you can feed down there and look at it and view it and see what condition they're in.
So can I ask you a question? I totally understand and agree that we have a problem, but I'm just curious, is this like something that's just surfacing in the last 2 or 3 years that we're beginning to see this problem, or has this been...
No, this is
I'm asking myself, like, how come for the last 40 years this has not been an issue?
We I don't know if you recall when I did the additional pavement management plan, we did a map where we had mapped all the cross culverts and showed the ones that need to be replaced. And we've been working on this since I've been here. You know, we haven't done a lot in Radisson yet, but you know, the piper's knocking at the door to be paid, and we would rather not be doing it after we resurface the roads.
Right. Well, the mindset we worked on
Radisson this year.
So we make our road selections based on surfaces, okay, and age, and then we do our estimates and we create our budget based on what we think the town can afford and what we physically could do with the size of our workforce in our short northeastern construction season. And you get to the 1.1, 1.2, 1.3 for millions of dollars, we're maxed with the help we have. You can only do so much work. So it's important to us though that any road we resurface, it's a kind of a pet peeve of mine, go down the road and check everything. Open up ditches, find your culverts, check your culverts. And in a country, it's easier because they're right there. You can get a look at them. In these developments, you're walking on things and driving on things, you don't know what's underneath you there. you know, and like I said, it first becomes evident, someone calls me when they're out jogging on the road, and there's a hole like this by a catch basin. That's the first sign we get usually, unless with what we're doing, I pick road A, we're gonna repave that this year. Before we bring in a mill in there, I pulled every grate on that road and looked at every pipe as best I can with what I have to look at it with. And then we make repairs where we feel they're necessary, then we mill the road and repave it. The most embarrassing thing in the world to me would be to repave your street and then 2 weeks later, have one of them start caving in. So we're gonna try to, well, we have been trying to avoid that from happening. I don't think I've cut it.
Is there gonna be a centralized database that you're gonna use so that way years down the road, people can see your findings?
Well,
so that they have a better understanding of which ones will need to be replaced.
We create a list of things we do each year, is kept at my facility, what roads have been paved, when they were done. You've got a pretty good list too. You know, culverts that we've done. You know, we keep track of that so that someone coming in behind me could say, gee, they did this road 8 years ago, needs to be resurfaced. Oh, he changed every pipe on it to plastic. Good to go. You know, so we're trying to make it easy on the next guy, I guess.
The new version of the Cornell Asset Management Program, there's a new version of that software coming out next year. And it includes, in the database, it has added a sign feature and a culvert feature so that you can incorporate those pieces of infrastructure in the overall asset management plan.
Well, I think it's excellent that you're adding that. And we're replacing them with plastic?
Yes, all plastic.
So one of the questions I have on your plan, and you know I ask it every year, and you've done a good job that I've seen so far for the ones I've seen, but the railings on where you can go off a road, you know, do you have a plan?
Just did some 3 days ago, on an old road.
So how are we approaching that problem? Are you approaching it as...
That's kind of as needed basis or as perceived needed basis or... You know, like the one we just did on Coppernall was like 3 days ago we did it. We had Phelps come in and do it. David back here, he knows. Somebody helped us out with that one. It came around the curve there and smashed into the concrete abutment that was there and sheared off a part of it. So insurance paid for one side of the guardrail instead of paying the cost of doing a concrete replacement, which would have been astronomical. We opted for a double box rail guardrail. And while they were there doing that, it made sense to do the opposite side, which had the same kind of concrete bulkhead on it. So now we've made that crossing safe for the public. Just so happens that road got oil and stone this year, and other bad culverts on the road were changed. That particular location is a huge concrete box culvert that is in good shape. The head walls were in lousy shape, and this lady took one out.
But I guess my question, and I appreciate, you know, you can only do what we give you money to do.
Right.
It seems to me that it ought not to be I don't know what the word would be, but there ought to be a plan. Here is the need, town board. Here are all the places where you ought to have a guardrail, and you don't have one right now.
There's nothing on guardrail.
What's that? That's what I'm getting at.
I mean, I had to start with some guardrail because
what I'm asking you, Jerry, is to present to us, look, you've got a X, Y, Z percent, you know, cost to do all the guardrails, and here's where I'm recommending you start. Because you did the ones on Dingle Hole Road, and it's not because I lived there that I wanted you to do it, because I see them. It's like if anybody went off the road into that 4 feet of water, they'd be in trouble. You fixed it.
In actuality, maybe you'll concur, maybe you won't. In this town, townwide, there really aren't a lot of serious guardrail concerns that we haven't addressed already, you know?
I don't know if I truly concur.
Okay.
It's
something we haven't talked about.
Mainly because of the steepness of some of our ditches on the county roads. Our country roads. And the other thing is the steepness of the ditch, and with a three-rod road right away, we don't have any room to push the ditch back further away from the road.
Right.
By highway design standards, there are many areas where either we got to look at doing some closed drainage, or we should be looking at putting some guide rail in.
They haven't been a problem.
Which is the less expensive of the two.
Okay, real.
Depends on the, it really depends on the drainage base, the size of the drainage basin that you're trying to convey with a closed pipe. And if you're trying to convey a lot of water and you're having to put 36 or 48 inch pipe in the ground, it may be cheaper to put gabbro in.
I guess all I would like, and I guess
I'm making a note right now.
Just to, you know, here's the plan. And let's, what we can do on a per year, a per annum basis, let's do it. Yeah. But at least you have a plan that says this is what ought to be done.
Well, what I'm making a note about is guide rail or closed drainage planning. Mm-hmm. And I say this is the time of year when we can look at those things before we're covered up in snow and make your list of a priority, run it on down and see what your normal linear foot price is for standards in both ways and approach it that way. I mean, we'll try to create something for you. It's just something we haven't had an opportunity to address.
I mean, it's probably cheaper if you can get away with putting up to an 18 inch pipe in the ground. It's probably cheaper to put pipe in the ground than it is to put guide rail up. But in a lot of those country areas, you got fairly large drainage basins that are contributing to the ditches, and it's going to push you into larger pipe sizes, which.
In reference to that, for anybody that might not know.
Well, I can't speak
for drainage basin is the vast area upland of where the water collects.
I would be satisfied if we had a plan and we just attacked the plan on a regular basis. That's all.
It'll take some doing because it's a big town.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's probably not going to be a cheap endeavor either.
Well, another one we've already recognized, every time we do move basins out on Drake's Landing to change the failed pipe underneath, or not Drake's, Willett. Every time we do one of those double basin locations and move them out of the drive lane, the pipe has failed. And where we're tying into the center pipe that goes down the median all the way from Willett, from one end to the other, what is that, a 4 footer?
Starts at 3 and goes to a 4.
Okay, diameter pipe, and that's metal too. And when we're making our connections into that, it's got perforations in it. So that's not long for this world, and that's a huge deal. You take that long a length of 4 foot diameter pipe is a lot of money.
You're $500,000 just replacing that piece of that pipe, those pipe and catch basins.
Let alone working around all the utilities in the
meantime. Well, there's some utilities there. It's not an easy.
Yeah, gentlemen, isn't this discussion supposed to be about the 2021 budget?
Yeah, we're working on it.
So I have a question.
They're
about
giving
that.
Us things to work on further.
Well, we got another 18 minutes before we start our meeting. So, I mean, we can carry it on, you know, afterwards.
Well, I gave you that for the role.
I'm here as long as you want to be here.
So, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
So the 3-page paper you just gave us totals approximately $1.2 million, right? 116.
Yeah, 1163.
Yep. And the handwritten notes that you have over here on the budget document total $898,000.
Yes.
Okay.
We had.
But then the typed totals on the budget document total $1.2 million.
So the typed numbers are what you asked for.
So what are the. So
the handwritten numbers are what we reduced it to.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's what I want to know. I want to know where the numbers are coming from and where this number fits in.
There was a minor change 2 days ago. I caught it because we form our road plan all year long. Okay, do estimates and things all year long in preparation for this. And when we were putting the last bit of it together, I had already obviously submitted my requests. And then you did your tentatives already. And I found in my road book, copper knoll guide rail. Well, it got done. And it was in this total. So I had to back that out. That's why this number went down a little. The end number.
Which number?
The end number on this document I just gave you is the one I truly need based on this list.
Correct.
Okay. The one that I submitted with our budget request would have been, I don't know, $35,000 higher or something.
Yes.
It was like 1198 and change, I think is what I requested.
1.2 looks like.
So go by this one I gave you tonight.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for. And, you know, just so you know, I didn't want to muddy your waters with all the different road estimates, because based on, you know, I have them here, okay, and I have them here, I have them in about three places. When it comes down to it and you adopt, then I have to go back through and see which ones fit the cut, or do we get to do them all, or, you know what I mean?
Hey.
So there's no sense giving you all that now.
Nope, nope, I get it.
But that's gonna change.
Yeah.
So, the road list will change. Next question I had in regards to our budget was, and this is just a reminder kind of a thing for you, but Dave may have explained this to me earlier today, but I'm just gonna double do this and clarify it. Truck replacement program that we adopted back in the spring.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, we got it.
Everybody's got it.
Oh, you got it.
I gave it to him.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the right one.
Yeah, that's the right one.
116,900 though.
So it is identical.
Identical.
Okay. All right. I didn't know you had it.
And you know, I saw, you know, Dave and I looked that over, and because of that, because of what we're doing, 45,000 of it was put in another line item.
That's what he told me.
Yeah.
Because I was concerned when I saw 225
no.
tentative.
No, we got.
And it should have been, you know, the 25% over the 215 from this year.
Yep.
To cover the cost of that truck's payment and order the new one.
Yep.
So sounds like we're okay there.
Yep. Because when we talked, and we've been talking since March,
mm-hmm.
and I asked you, I said, this year's gonna be a very, very difficult year.
Well, we knew that.
Right, and that's when I asked you, I said, so if you have to look at machinery or equipment, or you had to look at road maintenance, which one is more important to you? And you told me equipment.
It is, because we've gone.
No, I understand. I understand. I mean, I know you need all the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not.
Well, the road stuff, I'm asking for on behalf of the residents, so we
yeah.
can keep the
no,
roads
I'm,
up to speed. You know, I use the comparison of, you know, a road that starts cracking. We come in here and we put a seal on it, you know, new mill and fill or whatever, versus reconstructing it. We don't want them to get to the reconstruct phase. So, you know, mill and fill or oil and stone on certain types of road is a whole lot cheaper. So it's, you know, $35 oil change in your car, or do you want to wait and spend $3,500 on a motor?
And,
you know, that's how I equate this.
And so, when Mr. Raleigh and I went over this, said to him, I said, look, I want to come in with a zero budget, zero increase budget, because there's a lot of people out of work. This is a bad year to raise taxes on people. If we have to raise it, I want them to see, you know, we're starting out at zero, to see where what we're doing to keep the taxes low. So if there's things that we absolutely have to have, and there has to be an increase, then they're going to know why, and they're going to know where it is, so that when we get to the public hearing, they can weigh in on that.
Yeah.
And we're going to listen. I'm going to listen to them anyway, but that's why we're starting at this zero. So we can, because we already have, there's another about $70,000 that isn't accounted for in this budget. Now there's $24,000 that they need in the parks, and that's actually come down, probably mm-hmm. more around $18,000, because the parks personnel has been cutting down some of those trees. But we need a new phone system, and we haven't gotten the number on the phone systems yet. Mr. Kudarauskas will come up with that. And then we have to talk about the fuel farm, what we're going to do with that.
Yep.
And that's going to be $25,000 to $30,000, no matter what we do, whether we stay with it, whether we go or decommission it. So, you know, you're talking, it's come down a little bit, but at least $60,000 that we haven't accounted for in this budget that we're going to have to find somewhere. So
I had one question as I went through the tentative budget. These are just quick questions. Hopefully you can answer them so I know the answer. I don't know how to give you the page, because I might not have all the pages you've got. Okay. Well, if you go to, it's under description, the account number. Does that help you guys?
Okay. Is it in the highway department?
No, this is general fund. And it's just a question for you. Because, like you said, you're trying to keep things at
right.
zero, and
right.
and it's account AOO1220. Okay, 105. It's called the bookkeeper to the supervisor?
Yes. Yep.
And it just caught my eye that it was at a 10, and then it was at 0, and then it went 13587 and stayed tentative 13. Who is that?
Who is that?
Yeah.
That is, that is in there because, we might as well tell them now.
Yeah.
Mr. Raleigh's gonna be retiring in the, in April. So there's money set aside for him, but there's also been money set aside for the bookkeeper to the supervisor. Now, the bookkeeper to the supervisor can be used for administrative things. And we have a lot of administrative things. I don't think $13,000 worth. But when he and I were talking about that, we might need additional funds to when we go and look at hiring a new comptroller. So, you know, we thought it was prudent to leave that in there. So
just,
that if we had to move
just
that
a question,
over,
because it caught my eye.
Yeah, that's a fair question.
You know, when we're looking for money for things.
If we're gonna wrap up highways in 10 minutes, I got a whole bunch of questions.
We don't have to wrap. I mean, what we can do is we can suspend it at 7, and we can hold our meeting. We don't have a lot of stuff in the meeting, and we can continue on with this. I'm good with that. Is it anybody? Everybody else good with that?
I'm fine.
Jerry.
What do you got? 10. Might be included depending on your
couple of quick questions, because I just we're all over the place here. So in the tentative budget is $233,000 for machinery equipment, but what you're really asking for is $268,000.
No, he's getting all of that.
I'll answer it, Bob. Yeah. So the payment for the truck that we bought this year is on the line item.
I don't have
drawn a blank off of the
I don't know.
Line item.
Told me earlier. Had a different word.
Yep, it's in the bed.
That's his question. I'm not sure.
Good.
All right.
Where's the payment for the truck we bought this year? What item is that under?
It's under the debt service.
Debt service.
9,000 series. So if you look at 9.
We're essentially giving him what he's asking for.
Right.
It's already
so the 233 plus the debt service adds up to 260.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And then. And the difference between what you're asking 1163 and what's in this book is $265,000.
For road
maintenance
and
construction.
Sounds
about right.
Yeah.
So we're asking us to consider $265,000 of road changes. A couple of questions. And I absolutely agree, let's be conservative. You know, this is the craziest year any of us have been through, but just, you know, on that, service to other governments, we're budgeting $250,000, which is mostly for plowing county roads, but winter severity is in there, so we're not taking into account winter severity.
There is no winter severity.
There won't be any winter severity, is what we're saying.
There is no winter severity.
Okay, and then.
But there is this plowing contract with the county, which for 2021, our payment from the county without the severity is $250,194.90.
So that's the number that's in there. Okay. But then going back to interfund revenue, which is, you know, I'm sorry, the CHIPS program, we're budgeting, projecting 103, that's 20% less than 129.
Yep.
But we took in 182 in the last 2 years.
That's because you got PAVE and EWR.
And that's not going to happen again, is what we're
saying. Oh, we don't know.
We don't know. It's a bonus when we get it.
Okay.
We don't figure it in the budget part of it because it may not come.
What's the level of confidence or not lack of confidence?
From my perspective, it's really low because
really low.
You're looking at, I can just tell you in the courts, my wife works in the courts, just the courts alone. And that's usually one of those areas where they leave alone. They're looking at cutting, I think my wife told me, $250 million just out of that alone.
I guess what I'm getting at, I agree with you, Bob, and I agree with everybody that we ought to be conservative, but can we look at addressing highway needs that if we get this money, which is another $80,000, we can amend the budget going at some point in 2021 for it?
I think that's a great idea.
Instead,
you know, and that's how
if it comes,
we'll have to figure out how to do it.
How about, we're figuring it the way we are now, okay?
In hopes that we'll get that $80,000. If that money comes when we turn in our paperwork and we go through next year, we get it, maybe we get 100% of chips. You don't know.
Right.
Okay? That'll be determined. Those are our three things that come from the state that are in jeopardy. The rest of our funding pretty much comes from our public through our highway tax.
But since we're not anticipating it, that could be a bonus.
Correct. And if it came and if I perceived we had some other little thing, let's call it guide rail, that needed to be done. Something that was really hairy. For the fall, just like we just did, I could come to you and say, hey, we got that 80 grand. Can we use it on this $30,000 guardrail job and then carry the rest?
Well, I was thinking trying to find the making that part of the 265 extra that you're asking for.
I don't know that, because this is a contract with the highway superintendent. How do we do that?
Right.
I'm not sure how we do that.
Right.
Can we do that?
And we always hope that our estimates in that plan of roads that I gave you and our work there, we always hope that we're solid. We've been really good shape right along.
Yeah, the template I developed works really well.
Yeah.
What's that?
We have a template for mill and fills that works very well for us for estimating the roads.
There's actually contractors have asked to share it with other municipalities.
Yeah. So, you know, our estimates are generally very solid. We do run into some unanticipated, but, you know, if the 80 comes, great, you know. Trust me, we got places we can use it.
Mr. Rowley, how would we do that?
I don't know. I was just looking at Tony. I don't know if we'd have to amend the 284 form, if you could even do that or not.
I think we could amend it.
Yeah.
Some research, but I don't think I need to.
Yeah, so
you wouldn't even get near that until this time of year.
Yeah, and the problem that we have is that's a contract and we have to come up with a budget, and once we have that contract with you, that's a legal document, so that we'll have to, I don't think that's a bad idea, but we have to find out how and if we can do that. If that was to happen, sure.
Didn't we explore this before?
How about if it comes earmarked as capital money and held in a special account for uses for, like, we could call it for our guide rail plan?
I think that's something that Mr. Rivasigno is going to have to research with Mr. Rowley, and then we'll come up with a plan. But if we can do that, we will look to do that. I think we should. I don't say we're going to. I don't mean to speak for everybody else, but.
I believe we talked about this once before, and it was pointed out that if both the highway superintendent and the town board came to agreement, we were allowed to amend the contract.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's what we came up with.
I think that's what we looked at. Yeah.
That's fact.
I think that's probably the case.
Yep. But it would be this time of year when you would amend it and just include the other monies that you received, and then only if I have a need for them. Otherwise, they would end up in... carried forward into reserves, right?
What we couldn't do is on our own side, on the town side, just amend it and say, sorry, Jerry, we changed it.
Right. No, I know that.
But if we both agree,
All right, so
that's what we came up with.
We'll explore that, and I mean, if we get unexpected monies coming in, and you showed a need to, you know, for that money, why wouldn't you get it?
And then, I'm so confused about how we're paying for equipment, but it looks really interesting. But we're not putting $125,000 in the transfer to reserve account. And why aren't we doing that?
Because your five-year plan, we did away with that.
We did away with that. But that means that every year we're going to have to spend a lot more money going forward.
Your five-year plan, which you approved, shows that.
But why, I don't remember why we eliminated putting, like what we said to ourselves, like if we put 125, whatever the number is, aside, that can be used for the following years or for subsequent years' purchase of equipment. So why do I don't remember eliminating it. I guess we
did. The five-year plan changed that.
Yeah, what it did is the five-year plan called for a 25% increase in funding annually for equipment to get us to final number of, do you get that right in front of you, Jerry?
Oh.
Yeah, 525.
Wrong sheet.
Yes.
Final number of 525.
Annually.
Annual equipment budget line. And at that point, we felt that unless something drastic changed, we could become basically sustainable at that rate, keep it flat.
And when we get to the end of the five-year plan, as it's presented there, there's going to be $340,000 in a reserve that we haven't touched yet.
Right. Plus, like this year's budget, as part of the five-year plan, and we're starting to see some results. When I watch my lines of my budget for parts and outside vendor repairs on my trucks and equipment, we still have money left there right now. But we're going into our fall where we go through everything prior to winter. So far, trucks have been making it through inspection a bit better because we have a couple of newer ones. And it's saving us money, so I reduced parts and outside vendor repairs $5,000 each going forward from what we had in there this year. So there's a $10,000 drop because of updating equipment according to the five-year plan.
So where does the money come from that goes into the equipment reserve account balance? It goes from 340 to 317 to 9. Where does that money come from?
What's your question again?
Okay. You have a column here called equipment reserve account balance. So right now,
yeah, so like right now we got 215 in there.
Oh, you got
in this budget year 2020. No, there's $215,000 already set aside right. in the reserve.
Okay.
This year we budgeted $125,000 for 2020.
Right.
215 and 125 is 340.
Gotcha.
That's going to stay there.
Okay, we're not using that. And then what happens to it over the subsequent years, Dave? It goes
nothing. Well, if it plays out, as you can see in that column, we're going to dig into it at the rate of $22,000 a year.
Okay.
But again, we may not even need to do that. You know,
We passed this by resolution. When did we do that?
It was
February 10th, I
believe. It was back in February. And the other question I had in regards to that whole process, our sale of the equipment we got rid of or replaced, you know, like just this year alone so far, there was two dump trucks, was like 9,100, roadside mower was almost 17,000, and as soon as that other cab and chassis comes, truck four goes down the road, maybe 4,000 or 5,000. So where's that money ending up?
Well,
I have to ask.
Well, no. I mean, as you know, obviously, that money goes in on the revenue side.
Okay.
So eventually, when we close out the books at the end of the year, it essentially rolls into the fund balance in the highway fund.
Okay. It stays with highway.
Stays in the highway.
So that can help us, too, these minor sales of aged equipment.
Right, because we're not budgeting for those.
Right.
That's another plus.
Right.
Because we don't budget for this.
So a little after 7.
Yep.
I'd like to start the meeting. Can you stick around and we continue this? Let's get it done.
Well, it didn't look like your meeting should be too awful long.
It's not going to, I don't think so.
Okay.
So is that a yes?
Go for it, yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't have much left, so.
So, let's see. All right. I'm going to leave this stuff right here. All right. So, it's 7:04. Call the meeting to order with Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.